Vous êtes avec SBS French. Retrouvez les rubriques sur sbs.com.au/french.
Écoutez et donnez-nous votre opinion. Téléchargez l'émission avec l'application SBS Radio. Écoutez en direct ou à la demande. Répondez à nos sondages et laissez-nous un message. Le téléchargement est gratuit dans l'App Store ou sur Google Play.
Dr. Christine Cooper from Curtin University School of Molecular and Life Sciences is on SBS Radio to talk a little bit about the situation concerning the wildlife affected by the fires here in Australia. Christine, hi.
Hello.
And thank you very much for being with us on SBS Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Experts have estimated 1.25 billion animals killed by bushfires. This is enormous. How can we estimate a number like this?
These estimates are based on previous research that was done to look at some of the effects of land clearing. So they're looking at wildlife density per area in different habitat types and then extrapolated. So they're obviously a really rough estimate, and they only include the terrestrial mammals, birds and reptiles. So that number doesn't include things like amphibians, bats and of course all the invertebrates. So it's a really conservative value.
And what will be the consequences over the next few years for the fauna?
Well, the consequences are really serious for some of our really threatened species. So for some species, it's obviously going to have a short-term impact. But for some of the more threatened species that have really restricted habitat ranges, we could have really severe consequences, potentially even extinction of some of these species that are only found in really small areas. So a good example would be the Kangaroo Island Dunnart, which its entire known habitat was burnt in the fire. Another species that's impacted is the Western Ground Parrot, and the vast majority of its habitat has been fire affected. Long-footed potoroos, greater gliders, these are all threatened species that the fire has really impacted on large areas of their known habitat. For some species, they can deal with fire, so they do things like hide down in rock caves and burrows and things, and then they can use strategies like torpor, where they drop their body temperature, essentially a bit like hibernation, and that reduces their food and water requirements. So they do have some strategies to help resist the fire, but there are other problems. So when they do come up and start to try and forage, the habitat is very open then, and then they can be impacted by feral predators like foxes and cats. So it can be a real problem. And for species that really need areas of dense, long-burnt vegetation, so things like the Western Ground Parrot, it will take years and years and years to redevelop that vegetation to the density that they need. So for some species, they may not have any habitat left at all.
If we can also talk about the flora, the trees, the plants, the flowers, I mean, we are talking about between 5 and 6 million hectares of land burned. How long do you think it will take, and how everything will go back to normal, if I can say?
That really depends on the vegetation community. So some Australian vegetation communities are adapted to deal with fire, and they will really quite quickly start regenerating. So they have shoots and buds under the bark and in the ground that will start to come up very quickly after fire, particularly if they get a little bit of rain. But there's been some vegetation communities that have been impacted that usually don't burn. So areas like rainforest, for example. And these areas are typically quite wet and they're not adapted to fire. And it's quite likely that some of these rainforest areas will never return again because they're just not adapted to deal with it. So the vegetation communities will vary a bit in their responses.
Mm-hmm. Finally, just can we talk about the camels? There are more than 1 million camels in Australia. It's considered as an invasive species here in Australia. But the man brought it here, right? So, well, now the native communities and the government in South Australia have agreed to kill at least roughly 5,000 of them within the next few days because of the drought. What do you think about it? Is it really the only option?
Yeah, camels have been introduced into Australia, so they're not native here, and they do all sorts of damage. Importantly, they do a whole lot of ecological damage, so they graze on vegetation and they clear habitat. But when there's a drought, they come in looking for water and then they start to do damage to human infrastructure as well. So in search for water, they trample fences, they get into communities, they try and get water out of air conditioners, all those sorts of things, and they become a real hazard. So both on ecological grounds and on management grounds, it's important that we control them. And the only realistic way to manage camels that really shouldn't be here is to cull them in large numbers. So this has ecological benefit. It has obviously benefit in protecting infrastructure, but it also has welfare benefit because when it's very dry and very hot, those camels will die of thirst, of starvation, and so it's actually more humane to cull them as well.
Mm-hmm. Christine, thank you so much for your help.
Thank you very much for having me.
Choisissez sbs.com.au/French comme page d'accueil de votre navigateur internet. Retrouvez les dernières informations et actualités. Participez à nos sondages et contactez-nous. sbs.com.au/French
Vous voulez entendre d'autres rubriques comme celle-ci? Écoutez-les sur Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify ou n'importe où vous obtenez vos podcasts.